It is Dukes and Bell with Chris in for Carl today, coming off Carl's trip to Pittsburgh, which is always a great time, not so much when it's that rainy. Man, it was miserable last night, and NBC had to kind of scramble to fill. They did have some cool old highlights of Cowboys and Steelers, which for many of us was like the best Super Bowls.
Oh, yeah.
And the best teams. But yeah, eventually the game got rolling. We were just talking, watching, they're replaying it on NFL Network right now. Chris and I were just saying, man, Dak looked just meh last night.
Yeah.
Both quarterbacks looked meh last night.
Well, I think one is headed for the bench. The other one, unfortunately, you can't really bench him, Mike Bell, that old number four. But he's the ultimate hit or miss quarterback, in my opinion. He's either going to go, you know, 28 for 32 for 350 and three touchdowns, or he's going to have a game like he had last night.
So, Chris, in for Carl. Carl back tomorrow, Wednesday, guys. We'll be exclusive at our Ticketmaster studios up at Flowery Branch. Looking forward to getting to talk to Coach Ra. It's funny, there's a couple of Falcon fans, a couple of guys in my neighborhood said, what are you going to bellyache about this week? Well, we're going to bellyache about pass rush. Because we'll check off the boxes. They got Pitts involved. Hopefully that's the shape of things to come. Pitts will now be what he should be in this offense, and he certainly was in that amazing win against the Bucs, Chris. But we are, what, dead last in sacks in the NFL?
Five. I'm holding up five fingers in the Kia Studios right now. They're dead last in the NFL. And for reference, the New York Giants, who are number one, have 22.
Right. And Kayvon Thibodeau paired with Brian Burns, who came up there in free agency, is like a nice combination. We may need to go shopping to get somebody opposite Judon, because we keep talking about Ebiketie, Lorenzo Carter, all those guys we talked about all, you know, offseason long. But so that'll be, in case you're wondering what we're going to bother Coach Ra with, it'll be a pass rush. And then he can tell us that those stats are for nerds. And maybe he'll dust off old Mike Smith's line. Sacks don't matter. Sacks are an overrated stat.
Well, if we get Cuba, as much as you joke around about that with Coach Smith, by the way, who was on with Stakey earlier this morning.
And by the way, Mike is the nicest guy. If ever there was a Falcons coach, and we've had some doozies, but that was a guy that I can tell you from personal experience, if you heard him on with Carl and I a couple times, Chris, he is the absolute sweetest guy in the world, and you just wish he could have, you know, won it here.
Yeah, absolutely. But in all seriousness, Mike, even if we can get more QB pressures and QB hits, you got to get something. And the likes of, as you said, Arnold Ebiketie and Lorenzo Carter, guys that we were promised that we're going to have breakout campaigns.
Ruka, get out there. And he certainly looks like he's getting more and more ready for prime time. Didn't embarrass himself. Looked pretty good, I thought, against the Bucs. Hey, guys, Wednesday, as we mentioned, we'll be at Falcons. Thursday, hitting the road, we're going to be at Taco Mac Woodstock. Our good pal Mick, who used to run that joint, we always love going up there. So if you're up in that neck of the woods, Woodstockians, come join Dukes and Bell at Taco Mac. And while we're on the subject of Woodstockians, hats off to Squid Billy.
Yeah.
Squid Billy's going to be a daddy.
That's right.
Daddy Squid Billy. Congratulations, man. Good for him, man. I guess, would you go Squid Billy Jean if it was a girl?
Well, you know what? That's pretty good, Mike. But my question is, how long before the baby is taller than the father?
Oh, look at that. You got jokes. Amy, congratulations. You put up with that guy, and now there's a bun in the oven with Squid Billy. Congrats. On that note, let's hit an NFL blitz. Chris, it's a simple game. You throw the ball, you catch the ball, you tackle, you block. Right? I'm paraphrasing Bull Durham. Yes. Why do coaches go into a shell after they get a gift? The Lamar Jackson-Joe Burrow battle, the Ravens and the Bengals, arguably the most entertaining NFL game of the weekend. And then Lamar, as he's apt to do, botches the snap, also loses the football, and the Bengals get a gift.
Yeah, and then what happens at the end?
They go into a shell. They sit on it. They don't try to move the ball.
Yeah, the silence was just deafening in that instance, Mike Bell.
That's it. I mean, you literally, you've seen it, guys. We know what happens. If for those who didn't watch the game, because I think it was one of the national games here in Atlanta.
Yeah, I think it was on CBS, if I'm not mistaken.
And if you didn't see it, they missed the field goal after going nowhere. First and 10, no gain. Timeout, shotgun, 3 yards. Third and 7, no gain. Kick the ball. I mean, yes, they did try to throw it once, but two of those, they just basically ran right in the center of the line.
You know what that makes me really grateful for, Mike Bell? Kirk Cousins.
Right. 500 yards, setting the new Falcon season single game record. Amazing. Here's start with Joe Burrow, and he's saying, we're just not that good right now.
We're not a championship-level team right now. We're not. You know, I like to think that, you know, we'll come back and improve throughout the season to get to that point. But right now we are not, and we have to get better.
It's always something with the Bengals. Is it like they almost feel snake bitten over the last couple of years?
They're dealing with a lot of injuries on the defense. Now, again, nobody wants to hear about injuries because, you know, we've had our share, but they are missing some key personnel defensively. But still, it's gifted to you. run your regular offense. Just do something a little bit outside the outside of that conservative nature of play calling, which really cost him. On the flip side, Sean McDermott in Buffalo, they get a chance with Josh Allen to go salt away a game, and they decide to throw three consecutive passes as opposed to making Houston burn timeouts, which then puts them in a position to go win that game.
This one, to me, was even more head-scratching, Mike, because you have yourself in a position where all you need to do is do that to win the game.
Right.
And instead, you find a way to give the game away. It was astounding, especially because you could say a lot about what's happened in Buffalo over the last couple of years. They've underachieved this and that. McDermott's not a dumb coach. And to have that happen under his watch, to me, was very disappointing.
But they have had some moments in his tenure where he does things leaving you scratching your head. Some of that is not beyond his control. If Joe Burrow Josh Allen fumbles. But here is the head coach, Sean McDermott, saying, "It's on me."
Tough situation. You know, they're holding three timeouts. Like I said, they got a good field goal kicker, and you go back and forth. I probably should have run it on the first play and just said, "Hey, where are we now?" Either way, we're probably going to have to move the chains one time, right, to not give them a chance. But again, those are situations, and that's on me.
Not probably, Coach. You absolutely needed to run it at least one time there.
32 seconds left in the game. Tied. Yeah. Pretty simple.
Yeah.
There's only one way you can blow this.
Exactly, and it's the way that you did. And right. The other thing is, too, I mean, I think we do need to acknowledge, like, when we say 59-yard game-winning field goal, we don't blink, but 20, 30 years ago, that just didn't happen.
No, it was a one in five, yeah, probably one in ten. Nowadays, kickers are just like everything else, the evolution of the sport. Guys are bigger, stronger, faster. Even if the kicker's a pipsqueak, he's still nailing 60-yard kicks, it seems. Indoors, outdoors, it doesn't seem to matter. On to the Jets, the first game of the day, the Vikings. Oren, Carl, and I were all on the Vikes -2.5. A lot of guys are saying, "Whoa, that's the sharps are probably on the Jets." Yeah, because the big money's on the Jets because nobody trusts, Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold goes out of that game with a big hit. He got walloped. Mullen comes in. They actually throw the ball, not run it, which is kind of surprising. But they get off to a 17-0 lead. And then Aaron, who was really awful, three picks. He's got to get up to his standard.
See, that was below my standard. I just found out I've never thrown two picks in the first quarter before. So that's the first. One of us cost, obviously, seven, and the other, could have cost three. So in a game where you lose by six, plays like that are exponentially highlighted. So three turnovers for me is definitely out of character, and I'm disappointed.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm better than that.
Yeah, okay, but how about, no, you're not right now, Aaron.
You done messed up, Aaron!
You absolutely did. The Jets invested everything in you to win that game. Specifically, and he personally blew it.
Now, people are talking about the Commanders and Jaden Daniels, and that's the guy I wanted. There was no way to get up to that pick, and they weren't going to come off it. But I've always felt, no disrespect to Caleb. I think him and Caleb Williams can both be great, but I love Jaden Williams' game. He's looking good. I mean, he's one touchdown, one pick. The story was that, that Commanders defense getting after Deshaun Watson. Let's hear from Kevin Stefanski, because a lot of folks in Cleveland are saying, look, you got to pull the – I know – Captain Crablegs, you put Jameis in, it can't be any worse than what Deshaun Watson has given you.
Yeah, we're not changing quarterbacks. We need to play better.
Okay, Coach, but you're not changing quarterbacks not because of your quarterback. It's because of his damn contract that you absolutely cannot do anything about. Mike, I think it's something like $140 million dead cap hit. Oof. If they got rid of him. It's something astronomical, so they are absolutely screwed.
Can't do it. I mean, there's just nowhere to go with that. If you didn't see it, it was the Tom Brady game. By the way, is it just me or is Tom Brady just another guy?
He's not great. He's getting better, but he's not great.
Oren, I'm not bagging on Brady, but it's like, I don't know, because it was Tom Brady. I guess some of us felt like he's going to come in and reinvent the way that games are called by the analysts.
Did Romo just kind of set the bar insanely high his first season? He's kind of thrown back. But
right.
What he did his first year, did he just kind of set the bar extremely high now for what you expect, like a decent or a half-decent quarterback to be able to do when stepping into that booth?
I don't know. It's just Brady, there's some cliches, and sometimes, he's learning. I mean, we just all assumed that he was going to do like mock broadcast in his basement for a year and then come in and, he's busy stooping supermodels. He's doing his thing, for crying out loud. Let's hear from Kyler Murray. Look, this was a game with some ebb and flow to it. But Kyler Murray, I mean, can you please get Marvin Harrison Jr. more involved? But enough about my fantasy team. Here's a little fella on the come from behind win.
For us to fight back, battle back, and end up, winning this game on the road against a great team is huge.
I think the more important question, Mike, is what's going on in San Francisco? they got injuries too. I mean, I know no McCaffrey, but that thing's supposed to be a well-oiled machine under Shanahan, next man up, and it's just not.
Brandon Ayuk was all over the place. Purdy, two interceptions. You know, one kind of his fault, not really, but, you know, just a crazy deflection at the line, and that's all she wrote, and that seals the game. But, yeah, I know that we kind of assume that Shanahan can take anybody, plug him in at running back. No, you really do need Christian McCaffrey back there to make that thing go. They're now 2-3 are the 49ers. Hey, man, we'll come back with more NFL. We'll get into the balls, game balls, no balls. Got some college and pro. It was a great weekend. The college games are just insane. We'll touch on that. This hour of the show brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors on a Monday on Dukes and Bell. Pop quiz hot shot. Def Leppard right here. Is the drummer got one arm or two on this song?
Ooh. One.
No. Two. On 92.9 The Game. Oh, it's a loop. Never mind. Hey, everybody. It is Dukes and Bell with Chris and for Carl. And Oren is pressing the buttons back there. And we are going to get to some game balls. Carl and I usually do this, and Chris will jump in today, and we'll give away some balls. No balls. And there's a bunch. But certainly, everybody in the world of football, college and pro, was just talking about an amazing, amazing occurrence, because it's never happened before. Vanderbilt taking out the number one team. And it's just, you know, it's great. We said this earlier. Vandy fans have been taking in the CODs for decades. You know, everybody taking over their stadium. You know, that's what it was. A lot of Alabama fans just figured the roll up 65 and just nice weekend in Nashville. Put 50 on Vandy and we'll go hit Broadway.
Yeah, the game is sort of just the backdrop for the whole thing.
Little did they know it would be the goalposts hitting Broadway on their way to the Cumberland River. Yes. Here's what it sounded like on Vandy.
Clock is at 32. Diego Pavia. Under center from the 27. He takes the snap.
That's going to do it.
Vanderbilt.
Biggest win in Vanderbilt history.
Is this real life? You bet. Vanderbilt beats Alabama for the first time in a generation. The greatest moment in Vanderbilt football history. Tonight at First Bank Stadium.
Sounds exactly like your pukey announcer voice, Mike Bell.
I mean, it sounds like a young guy making his way up into play. I don't know how long that young man's been at Vanderbilt, but yeah, good for him.
Let me ask you a question. Little inside baseball here. There was a lot of steppage on that call at the beginning. You okay with that? With the color guy getting in on the play-by-play guy's call?
It does happen from time to time. Nobody ever did it any better than the late Jim Mandich on Dolphin broadcasts, where Bill Zimfer would like maybe give him the call. Like Marino drops back to pass. He's got Duper streaking out. Oh my God! It's a humongous right. Just would step right over Bill Zimfer. A humongous freaking throw by Danny Boy. And then Zimfer would be like, touchdown Dolphins. So, yeah, we've heard it before. Oren's got a bunch of the computer. We may get some of those later. There's some great ones where, you know, the color commentator just goes bananas.
Absolutely.
Hey, but that was great. So game ball goes to Vandy. A win for the ages. No balls goes to the other side of the equation. Now, he did apologize later, but Alabama captain Malachi Moore just acting like a doofus, kicking the ball while the ref's trying to spot at the end of the game. No balls.
No balls.
You know, and all the fans are saying, oh, man, I mean, they need to get Saban is retired, okay? Kalen DeBoer can't go crying to Uncle Nick every time something bad happens. But do you agree with, we just had, who was it just on? We had
Joe DeLeon.
Yeah, Joe DeLeon from Believe Network was saying, DeBoer, you know, the ups and downs, sometimes you got to treat a big win and you got to handle the guys from the mental aspect as much as you do a tough loss.
Yeah, and the problem is the diversity of the swing in that. Right. I mean, you come off the ultimate high and then you go all the way down. I think, let's say they lost to, I don't know, a Mississippi State like Georgia's going to play this weekend. That's bad enough. But to lose to Vanderbilt, Mike, in your first year after beating Georgia, yeah, that's just a stain I don't think is coming off.
Right, but as you said, it's wide open. You know, we were debating, will somebody have a loss this year? I mean, a lot of folks feel that Oregon has something for Ohio State. And some guys feel this Ohio State will step up and get it done. It's so tough to get a real idea what Ohio State is based on how weak their schedule has been so far to start. But more on that coming up. We'll talk to our man, K. Connor Riley on Twitter. It's Connor Riley from Dog Nation, especially those comments that Kirby had for dog fans. All right, more no balls. Let's hear from Robert Saleh as the Jets forgot they had a guy named Breece Hall.
No balls.
Those are things we got to continue to work on. The run game's clearly not good enough. You know, felt like coming out of training camp it was going to be a strength for us, and it obviously hasn't been that way.
Coach, you're 5 weeks into the season. You shouldn't be working on stuff. should be a well-oiled machine with a four-time MVP quarterback right now.
Yeah, but your offensive coordinator's a doofus.
Yes, he is.
Nathaniel Hackett. Guys, we talked about this. He was not calling the plays. I mean, he was part of building up that game plan, but LaFleur was the brains of the operation in Green Bay. He gets his own head coaching job in Denver. It's a colossal fail. And now, this is it for the Jets. The line that Aaron Rodgers had, which I loved last year, was accurate. If I can't do my job, no one's going to have a job around here talking about the general manager, the head coach, at all.
Yeah, and now it's basically coming down to the point where you're 5-6 weeks into the season, Mike, and it already feels like desperation mode.
All right, on the positive track, let's give a game ball to the Commanders. Look, Sergeant Slogan, Dan Quinn's got it cooking. He hired the, you know, Cliff Kingsbury may get another head coaching job after this, after what kind of, you know, blew up maybe some elements beyond his control with Kyler Murray out in Phoenix. Here's Jaden Daniels. Let's give a game ball to the QB.
Game balls.
We got to be better. That starts with me. That starts with the whole team. We got to hold ourselves to a high standard, take accountability. But it just says that we're going to fight and we're going to be able to battle through adversity, no matter wins or losses. We're not going to give up or anything like that.
Everything in the Washington sports pages say everybody on this team loves this guy. Everybody. Veteran players, younger players as well, along with rookies. Like, just love this guy's leadership.
Yeah, and you can just see it on the field. It's not even – because if you look at him from a stature standpoint, he's a little guy. He's not impressive physically. But you can just see the guys on the field that stand out. A Cam Newton comes to mind. Le'Veon Bell when he was cooking. There are guys that just make the game look like it's slowing down a little bit, Mike Bell. Mm-hmm. And Jaden Daniels has that quality about him. And I think that's why me and you were so high on him coming out of LSU.
Now, he is 6'4". He's a string bean.
He's very small.
Yeah, he's just got to work, you know, at some point. But again, you don't want to take away some of those elements that make him so elusive. Now, is he as elusive as Lamar Jackson? No. But he does get the job done. Let's get to Lamar Jackson cut. 35, for those of you scoring at home. We were doing the highlights in the NFL Blitz, and we were talking about how the Bengals basically blew that game. And then a Lamar Jackson fanboy hit me up on Twitter going, oh, you guys make it sound... Yes, because Lamar fumbled the freaking ball, which he does. I know he's an MVP twice, but he does have a penchant for fumbling the football. But I don't want to trigger the fanboy, so we'll give a game ball to Lamar and the Ravens for pulling out the win.
Game balls.
Still got work to improve on. I don't believe we reached our ceiling yet. You know, it's still room for improvement throughout this whole season. It's a long season.
Yeah, but that was... Mike, let's be honest. That was all luck. I mean, the end of that game, the way it played out. I mean, you're talking about, we talked about the Buffalo game, and then we talked about this game in terms of giving games away at the last possible second. And listen, during the course of a 17-week season, I get it. The ball's going to have to bounce your way a couple of times. But we keep saying this about the Ravens, right? Are they ready for Kansas City? I don't know.
We're going to find out.
Yeah.
I just think that Mahomes, it doesn't matter. Like, you can be ugly. They're going to play the Saints tonight. I think we're all Chiefs fans. Great googly moogly.
Yes.
But you just feel like Kansas City can throw that switch. And until somebody knocks them off, I'm not buying it. And I still don't like sometimes Monken. It's almost until the way they salted that game away. It's like, yeah, you got this guy. He's a really good running back. You know, you can use him. You know, I just thought Derrick Henry sometimes gets even forgotten after they spent the money to bring him in.
Which is amazing based on the way that he's looked. I mean, we've talked about this chapter and verse, the way he changed his diet and his workout routine this offseason. And he's playing like, he looks like he did at Alabama this year, Mike. I mean, it's really amazing.
The dude is a stud, and again, last year they had the Chiefs on the ropes and just completely took their own run game out. I know I harp on that AFC Championship game, but I thought they blew that opportunity. Hey, no balls, because he's just a turd. Bo Nix doing everything he can to win this game. Sean Payton, get off his back.
No balls.
Characterize the conversation you had with Bo after the miss fired in the end zone to Franklin. And I've seen you have these conversations.
It's part of the deal. Listen, last year all of a sudden it's just... There's still a little bit of Ferris Bueller in this player that we got to get rid of. All right. Talking about Bo, and I love him to death. And so sometimes it's my love language.
I mean, wow. If you never knew anything about Sean Payton, mm-hmm. that clip right there right. summarizes everything about Sean Payton.
Yeah. My guy throws for, 19 out of 27, took some sacks, but threw two touchdowns. He also ran for a score. But again, everything he does flows from my genius. And I have to reel him and rein him in. And by the way, what is the Ferris Bueller thing?
I have no idea.
He's on trampolines in somebody's backyard after ditching class?
I don't know. He's driving.
He's taking somebody's friend's dad's Ferrari into Chicago.
Driving too fast? I don't really know what's going on.
Any insight into what that reference is?
What's that, the Ferris Bueller reference? I have no idea.
The mystery that is Sean Payton.
And I love how he just cuts off the reporter, too. Doesn't even let him finish the question.
No, I got you. I'm a big egomaniac, and I got to explain to this guy how to do everything. So that's where it's at. Such a turd. We get to see these guys later this year.
Listen, if we don't beat the snot out of those guys by two touchdowns, Mike.
Right. A couple guys were asking me, what about game balls for the Cowboys? I don't think anybody deserves a game ball from last night's game.
No, that was an ugly slop fest, Mike.
Yeah, I know the track was wet, but still, I mean, you know, they it's the Steelers and the Cowboys, the uniforms, the whole history, but the game itself, kind of meh if you stayed up for it. It was a little
did you see it was Tyler Smith, the offensive lineman, his comments after the game up the last drive, where he talked about Jalen Tolbert got hit in the man region and went out there and played afterwards?
If you didn't see it, so Dak Prescott skips a ball in the end zone to Tolbert. It hits him right in the jimmy. And then so it, I forget, I think it was NFL Network. I forget who did the highlights. But he goes, I'm fine, I'm okay. Touchdown to me. Because he's catching the touchdown pass, straddling the goal line, looking like he just got hit in the nuts, and he catches the game-winning touchdown.
That perfectly sums up that game, by the way.
If we had audio of it, we would have given game balls to the guy who got hit in the balls and won the game. Tolbert, here's looking at you, kid.
Yeah, for real.
And your swollen nuts. We'll come back with Yeah Man, No Man. It's Dukes and Bell with Chris. And Oren's going to do some Yeah Man, No Man. This hour of the show, guys, brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Hey, man, Dukes and Bell back to work on a Monday, still basking in the warm afterglow of that amazing cover behind win. Going to OT, never doubted in a minute. Certainly, I left section 342, but did enjoy the view from section 142 at the end of the game. Folks are very obliged. You let us sit in their empty seats and we got to watch the overtime win as the Darrell Hodge took it to the house. A lot of guys still hit me up over the weekends getting a kick out of us playing that game-winning call from Wes over and over because it was so much fun. And we'll play it again. Wes will join us this week to talk about the game.
Tomorrow.
And Wednesday, as we mentioned, Coach Rod. Now, today, guys, Dave Archer at 6 o'clock will have the coach's show. Who's the player guest today?
That would be Kadarryl Hodge.
The man with the plan. 3 years with the Falcons. His 29th reception, the biggest of his career. And you could see, you know, a guy that grinds on special teams and gets on the field, how much he's loved by his teammates. It was just a real genuine reaction. And then the video, I think by now everybody's seen it in the locker room. It was just awesome. All right, man. And then we get Carolina. And certainly you feel pretty good about that. Let's not go greeting crazy, which is what happened with Vandy. But, geez, you feel like we should smoke them. Hey, more on that coming up right now. It's time for some Yeah Man, No Man with Big O. Turtle is to my right. So Oren's behind the glass, and he's got Yeah Man, No Man. What you got, man?
First of all, this is not a Yeah Man, No Man thing, but I want to give some props to Reese Davis. They had College Game Day this past weekend out there in Berkeley. Some tremendous signs, by the way. Those kids stepped it up. Was out there pretty early. I think they get to set maybe 2 or 3 hours before start time.
It was
so
4 a.m. when he got there.
Yeah, 4 a.m. call our time, 1 a.m. time there. Put in a full day of College Game Day. They got a call about 7:30 time, local time out there, that the announcer for the Cal-Miami game, Dave Fleming, was going to have to miss for a personal matter. So the beginning of the ball game, I'm listening, and I'm like, I hear this guy talking.
That's inside the 20 on third and goal. And try it again, this time make it work. Isaiah Horton goes into the end zone without incident, and the Canes draw closer.
I hear this voice. I'm like, is that Reese?
Wow.
Reese did 22 hours. 22 hours of work on Saturday. So shout out to Reese Davis stepping up in that line.
Man, he got a nap, right, before between game day and game time?
I hope so.
Because it was a 10 o'clock kick, so that would have been 7 o'clock West Coast. But still, hopefully he got a little nap in. That's yeoman's work, man.
Absolutely yeoman's work. And as in a profession where, you know, you deal with a lot of talkers, like 5 hours of radio is a lot. 22 hours to do television on a full day like that, like you heard the voice of the end. So shout out to Reese.
By the end of that game. When Miami scored to go ahead, there was 9 seconds of silence on the TV before he actually said anything because he just couldn't speak.
It just wasn't there. Did not have it.
And not to mention, a lot of folks are still mystified by how Miami's gotten two of these amazing calls at the end of the games with replay. Now, look, a lot of Florida State fans, I've saw some stuff on social media, Oren, they're chirping about the ACC is just, you know, favoring Miami. And I said, look, guys, we have to accept our season is over. Coach Norvell has no idea how to fix Florida State. And the ACC, yes, is probably bending over backwards to keep Miami relevant in the college football playoff. No matter how many times, Chris, they completely go against what you saw on the television as far as what you thought happened.
Yeah, I mean, listen, at this point, Miami, you're our only hope. And that's basically what it comes
down
to.
Save us, please.
Yeah, you're 100% right. So was it a botched call or two? Perhaps.
Yeah. Well, there was a couple of things going on. There was a targeting call that was let go that everyone said, come on, what are we doing here? But hey, you know, sometimes the worm even turns to them.
You guys mentioned Carolina.
That and the cash you paid Cam Ward, but we're not bitter. Back to you, Ward.
That too, yes.
Or the national title you had ripped from the jaws of victory.
Yes. Speaking of Carolina, as we were doing a couple minutes ago, guys, the end of that ball game in Carolina got a little weird. The Bears blowout win. Caleb Williams looked good yesterday, but a very curious decision by Dave Canales to sub out Andy Dalton and put in Bryce Young. Everybody's like, that's kind of weird that he was doing that.
As mop-up duty for the guy that's the first overall pick in the NFL draft.
He kind of tried to explain that post-game, but his explanation, if you kind of read between the lines, was not great.
Yeah, just saw it as an opportunity there. You know, we had a couple of injuries on the offensive line. And again, just like wanted to get him in there to just make, you know, get some live reps. And he did a fantastic job, you know, playing with energy, extending plays, finding some completions down the field, which was all fantastic. So, you know, it's a hard situation, you know, but at that point it was just like, okay, with just the different things happening on the offensive line, you know, it was something that where I wanted to get Andy out of there and then just give Bryce an opportunity to just continue to put some good football in there while we had time.
So you're down offensive lineman and you put in a guy, but you didn't want to play the guy. Like, make it make sense, please.
All right, real quick. Anybody out there who's married and maybe your wife catches you in something and now you got to try to talk your way out of it. And, you know, you just know brevity. Brevity is the key. You know, my dad always said, if you're going to just don't talk yourself into a circle. Just say, hey, no, not what happened. Done. And he talked that 35 seconds on why you put a guy in a mop-up duty whose obviously career is so over in Carolina, it's not even funny.
Yeah, he basically said, and if it just so happens he got six of his ribs broken,
right?
You know,
make
so
the decision easier for us not to play him the rest of the season.
So what? Why?
The only chance we have is by putting like a 60-year-old guy in Andy Dalton out there, and I can't have his ribs broken, so we rolled Bryce Young out there to get squished.
Just funny how it changed from like we want to protect this guy at all costs to, hey, whatever happens to Bryce, whatever. If he dies, he dies.
Right, literally. The only thing those guys got going for him is Chuba Hubbard right now, running back. That's it. They're dead in the water.
You know what sneaky team that might make sense for him? How about the Raiders?
Right.
They're going to bench Gardner Minshew.
Totally. They pulled him the other day, and if you didn't see it, Minshew, great hair, by the way. But, yeah, Minshew can't get anything going. I'm just wondering, is Pierce going to be one and done in Vegas?
It's starting to fall apart now out there, yeah.
That sort of quickly. Tough guy message only works when you're winning.
You've really got to pick your spots. You know, you can't be Billy Badass every week. You lose the locker room.
They had to play, I think, like 31-year-old Amir Abdullah this weekend at running back. He was their leading rusher. Like, it's really bad out
there.
Right
even now, like Max Crosby's like, he don't even give a crap. He's asked about Devontae Adams. Like, hey, man, I'm trying to win games. I could care less.
I don't know if you guys know this, but there is an epidemic right now in college football. Well, it's been an epidemic, but I think it's becoming a lot more sort of obvious now. Guys just faking injuries. And it seems like the cameras are catching more of them these days where they'll go back and say, like, hey, that guy finally hurt on the play. Oh, no, he's not hurt. He's just, you know, whatever it is. Shane Beamer had a couple instances of that happening on Saturday versus Ole Miss. They got blown out by Ole Miss. But he was asked about it in postgame, the amount of injuries by the Ole Miss team. And Shane took a few seconds to kind of break that down.
First of all, I hope all those guys are okay, for sure. We had some guys that had some injuries as well, and you know, Boogie and Jules went down a couple times, and I hope they're okay. I hope they're okay. It's remarkable to me how many. Maybe it's something there's. And listen, I got my own problems. We just got our butts kicked 27-3, but it's fascinating to me how many injuries occur for them after the opposing offense makes a first down.
Hey, he's putting it out there.
Or has a big play.
He's putting it out there. Good for Shane. And don't put it past Lane Kiffin for trying to find some edge, right?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I think this is going to result in a big old nothing burger because the only time we're actually going to care about this is in the playoffs, and I don't think you're going to see people doing this in the playoffs.
But we've seen it, though, in the college game. We've seen a lot. It's like basically the college football version of Rodney Dangerfield and Caddyshack. Oh, my arm!
And there's no penalty for it either. No. You can't penalize a team for it at all. So
it might be something, you know, again, if the SEC, if they want to look at it, if Sankey and company want to look at it, maybe they won't. Maybe the NCAA will and put a new rule on the books where, you know, simulating an injury. You know, in soccer, they have a simulation. They never call it because refs aren't really comfortable, like, kind of changing the, and I get it. It's more South America. It depends on which fan you talked about soccer, but it's first off, it's very unmanly. It doesn't pass the eye test to North American soccer fans or football fans when you watch soccer and see somebody make like limited contact and the guy's writhing in pain as if his shin has just been stabbed with a skewer.
Yeah, the old cliche growing up with the Yankees watching back home in New York was, they could have sat Don Mattingly every single day because of a back injury,
right?
Because you can't prove it. And it's the same thing here. If a player goes down, unless you actually stop the game film and watch it, and he's legitimately James Harden style flopping, right, how can you disprove a non-injury?
But on College Football Final, which I think is the best thing on ESPN these days, you know, and it's so entertaining, they do that, you know, that's a dollar. And there's been a number of videos where a guy will, like, the play will end, and it'll be almost like guys walking off, and all of a sudden somebody gets in his, let's go, Jerome.
You'll get the sign or whatever.
You've got
go
the
down.
Cramps,
yeah.
The cramps. And all of a sudden, whoop, and this guy literally just goes down like a ton of bricks. To Oren's point, it's something, if it continues, though, and Shane Beamer brings up a great point, if you can document it and say, look, there it is, then start penalizing guys.
He just hopes they're okay.
Yeah.
He just hopes they're okay.
It's very passive-aggressive, but it's a smart move by Shane.
God forbid that happens in a national championship game. Could you imagine Kirby if somebody tries to pull that on them?
Oh, no, but you're right there. It's just many, many fans watching it. If a guy's walking out in his own power and all of a sudden hits the deck, come on. It just seems ridiculous.
On that note, gentlemen, let's go ahead and get out of here.
All right, big man. Good job, Big O. In for Chris, who's in for Carl. Carl back tomorrow. And Chris, we got more to dive into, including talking some dogs. Kirby with some comments about the fans. We'll talk to Connor Riley about that. And, I mean, it wasn't the worst start, but it was still a tad sluggish. And maybe that's why the fans were, I don't know, disengaged that in the 90-degree heat.
It was too hot.
Hey, man, this hour of the show is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage at Entry Doors. We'll come back, talk some dogs, and go around the SEC with Connor Riley.